Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. Get behind the wheel of your new Opel at the Opel Open Road event, now on at your Opel dealer.
The way in which we bank has obviously changed quite a lot over the last few years, but the pandemic has certainly accelerated things. Online banks have played a central role in all of this, but they can be confusing. There's different types of cards, junior accounts, opportunities to invest in cryptocurrency, commodities and stocks and so on. So what is the best way to navigate it all? Here to talk us through all of this is the presenter of How to Be Good with Money, Owen McGee. Good morning to you, Owen. How are you?
I'm good, Philip. Thanks.
If you were one of the 1.5 million people who have opened up a Revolut account, and more have opened up other kinds of accounts, and you're toying with the idea of, because you're hacked off with your legacy bank or your Main Street bank, of making that transition to online banking complete, would you have any reservations about telling them to embrace that new online future and leave the branch banking behind?
Like, I think we have to be aware, like, they've got 1.5 million customers. They're aiming for 2 million customers in Ireland. N26 of 200,000 customers in Ireland. On Post Money is another challenger bank as well. I don't know the numbers on them. But the point is that this has become a very big part of our world. We had Francesca McDonough on Morning Ireland yesterday morning talking about the closure of bank branches. And she had figures to say, I think it's 4 out of 5 of their customers in the branches hadn't been in the branch that they were closing in the last 12 months. So we don't go into banks anymore.
Well, nobody's been in anywhere in the last 12 months.
True,
so it's
true.
Not exactly fair.
The figures probably support her closing the bank, the branch. But the thing about it is that the way in which we engage with banks is very different now than it used to be. And the reality is that you just have to be a little bit careful of the T's and C's. These things originally were set up as a way of transferring from they were for the people who were traveling around the world and changing money from one currency to another. And it was very easy access to be able to get currency exchanges done at very cheap rates. And that was their original intention. And they've expanded into becoming big time challenger banks where you can almost replace your bank completely. There's little things you have to be careful of, like ATM.
Almost replace your current account completely. What are the snags as far as you're concerned?
One of the things is you need a bank account to transfer money into these bank accounts in general, right? That's generally how you get money into them. Some people will go as far as getting their wages lodged into these accounts. You have no way of going into a bank and taking the money out. And when you go to take cash out, you generally, depending on the plan you're on within these bank accounts, you will have a limit to the amount you can take out before you get hit very heavily with fees.
At least there could never be a run on a bank again, at least not a physical run if they were all online, would they?
A Mary Poppins type run, yeah. No, there won't be one of them. But the thing
thinking about a Northern Rock type run. It doesn't have to be Mary Poppins at all.
People queuing up outside the bank. But the reality is that these banks are there. They are, people are using them, and they're using them in a different way to what the way we used to use banks. And that's because they have used the technology so well to make transferring money to each other so easy, to be able to look at your accounts, to set up goals, to do these. They have these little things called, if people aren't familiar with them, vaults or spaces or wallets. And it's a really clever thing where, I don't know, you spend €2.88 in a shop and you tap for it, right? And it takes the 12 cent and rounds it up to €3 and puts it into your little separate account. It's still the same bank account, but your little savings account. And you can very quickly accumulate up what people describe as free money. I never would have noticed the difference between the 288. And you can set things to say, when it's 12 cent, multiply that by 10. Or multiply the number up, and you can very quickly accumulate up a bit of cash that you just never thought you were.
A virtual money jar, but this time the change actually goes into the jar as opposed to staying in your pocket. One of the interesting things that we came across in our household with a Revolut Junior account was when the 12-year-old came to me and said, "Dad, what's Dogecoin and should I buy some?" And this is something to be wary of, that you could conceivably have very young people buying into cryptocurrencies or God knows what kind of stocks and shares.
It's interesting because one of the things, like, when you think about it, should I allow my child to have one of these junior accounts? And I think there's more control than by putting €10 into one of these junior accounts than there is handing them €10. Like, if you think about it, you hand them €10, you have no idea where it's going, when it was spent, what it was spent on. You have a junior account or one of these the kids' accounts that's attached to your account.
You get a request to your phone saying, is it all right for Johnny or Mary to be spending this money in this shop online?
You can turn off contactlesses, you can turn off ATM withdrawals, you can turn off online shopping, you can turn them on and off. You get complete control over it. But they get to engage with a bank under your supervision. And I think if they're going to spend 10 euros in sweets, they're going to spend 10 euros in sweets. You might as well let them do it where you can see that they spent it in the local shop.
What about costs here? I mean, how are these guys in Revolut and the German one, what's it called?
N26.
N26. How are they making their money?
You see, this is the thing. What someone said to me recently, I'm fed up. I haven't been in an airport in ages and they keep trying to sell me airport lounge passes, right? And this is how they do it. They do the add-on extras. They either ask you to pay 7.99 euros a month or 10 euro or whatever the figures are, depending on the plan you're looking at, to get like a really cool metal card. And they are actually cool. And really cool metal card or one of these cards. And then you get a lounge access or you get discounts on big brands like Nike and Adidas, and they're constantly firing these things at you because they have to get the additional sell onto you. They have to find another way of making some money off you.
But does this mean then essentially that the high-flying executives are funding these operations and it's free banking for the rest of us?
It depends how clever you are. Like, they do also catch you out. Like I mentioned already, you take more than, I think it's 200 euros on most of the accounts, you take more than that out on an ATM and they charge you heavily for ATM withdrawals. They don't want you doing that.
To the order of what?
I think it's a percentage. I'll come back to you on that one. I don't have it off the top of my head, but it starts to get very expensive if you're someone who uses cash a lot. These N26 Revolut are not for you. Yeah,
but most people with a Revolut card, certainly the younger people, would be saying, cash? What's cash?
Yeah. Like, nobody uses cash. Nobody. So it's becoming less and less of a problem. We see that there was, in Italy now, you cannot use more than 2,000 euros in cash, and they're reducing it to 1,000 euros. We were looking at 10,000 euros yesterday, and we're talking about introducing that we can't do cash transactions more than 10,000 euros. But it does, cash is becoming less and less of an issue, but it is the add-ons, the sales. They try and get you to airport lounges. They try and get you to buy insurance through them. They try and get you to buy your clothes and everything through them, through their discount code, in the same way all influencers work. They're trying to get you to buy more stuff through them, and therefore they make a cut off it. And that's really where their business model seems to be going to try and make money from it.
And the pushing of the cryptocurrencies and the stocks and so on, presumably they're making a cut out of that.
Yeah, they're very, very, very competitive though, in terms of they flash up commission free, all of these things, you can do unlimited trades. My bigger fear with that is the damage people, not the cost of it in terms of the cost of the trade.
Yeah, so you're saying that they're competitive with other Bitcoin platforms.
Yeah, but you can also buy shares and they're very competitive with stockbrokers, and they're very competitive on all of those transactions. They're incredibly competitive because that's their edge. My fear isn't the cost to you of the transaction. My fear is the cost to you of doing it wrong. Whether it's crypto or shares or whatever it is that you want to do, it's so accessible at the moment. And I think it's incredible to watch people like, oh yeah, I have shares in that company. Why? Oh, I just bought it on my bank account. And those same people would never consider walking into a bookies and placing a bet. But they don't see it as the same thing when they're buying one share and holding it for 3 days and selling it again.
And how many times have you heard people say of these cryptocurrencies when they have bought in and seen them go down, Asher, I'm going to stick with it. It'll come good eventually. On the basis of what assumptions? I do not understand.
Yeah, your text line will go mad when you start talking about Bitcoin and cryptocurrency, because there's people out there who are absolute believers. And there are people out there who haven't a clue what it's all about and just don't go near it. The people who are believers.
The two might be the same.
Yeah, the people who are the real believers are the real believers. And think that there's something wrong with the rest of us for not understanding it. I have no idea where Bitcoin crypto is going in the next 10 years, but it is a bet right now.
But there are some people out there who said recently that you did, didn't they?
Yes. And this is the second big one of these that's come out. There's an article being circulated, being very, very heavily promoted. Like, the advertisement money that they must be putting into it must be huge. Now, they did spell my name wrong, which was useful because anybody who knows how to spell Owen knows that it wasn't an article about me. But they said that I was on a national airwave and the central bank rang up and asked me to be taken off air immediately because I was going to make the financial system crash. And I was telling people the inside track on how to buy cryptocurrencies. The article has absolutely nothing to do with me. I've tried to get it taken down. It's not going to happen. These people protect themselves well, but it has nothing to do with me. And the last time this happened, there were several people came to me and said, yeah, I bought some crypto on the back of it.
Oh my God.
And it really worries you. And these people, they put it on a server somewhere far away that you just can't have it removed. And the only way you can get people is by you allowing me to talk about it now. Just be really, really clear. I have never come out and said to buy any cryptocurrencies or said that I made more income off crypto last year than I did off my own salary. All of these claims are nothing to do with me.
Absolute nonsense, and happy to allow you the opportunity to say as much. Owen McGee, thank you very much. Just gone 11 o'clock. Over to the newsroom and Brian Jennings.